Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Yo, 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 welcome to the podcast. We are the Rewatchers. Wicka, 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 whack. Tom.
Taking it back.
Yeah.
What number episode is this? Negative 82?
Negative 82. Get with the program. YOLO.
Pogs.
Not.
Don't eat a cow, man.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Did I do that?
Nanu, nanu.
There we go.
Yep.
There we go.
I was like, I just got to get what back to one more today, generation. Leah? We are rewatching a whole heap of things that we've watched before. Mm. Some of them countless times before, but we just have to go back and watch them periodically through the year, right?
This is just an easy episode of comfort watching.
This is the kind of stuff that we don't talk about week to week because you don't need to know that I watched a thing that I've watched, every week for the last 20 years or whatever.
You don't need to hear about how many times I've watched Venom, but I'm going to tell you this week.
Exactly. And also got a fun rewatching 90s special quiz for the end of the episode as well.
Nice.
So get with the program. It's going to be so groovy. I've run out of them.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The big annual picnic in the park is back this weekend, and from what we understand, all the good spots have already been snapped up. People have been hammering in tent pegs with signs attached saying "bagged" under the biggest, shadiest trees. Next to the lovely quiet pond, right by the clean toilet blocks, at the entrance to the car park, the kids' playground and the ice cream truck. There are, however, still lots of spaces around the rubbish bins, the burning garbage pile, the seagull feeding grounds, the swamp, wetlands, all the various leech puddles and the bus idling stop. You may have noticed an increase in the pomegranates falling from the sky on Tuesdays. Scientists from Watchersville University have been looking into the phenomena and have concluded the pomegranate gods must think we're being very good humans and have decided to literally shower us with fruit. This has caused a number of injuries and the hospital is recommending we all wear stack hats whenever leaving our homes. The butcher and the baker are on the lookout for a new candlestick maker to bathe with. While this sounds odd to newcomers, they have been a three bathing team since the 18th century and are keen to keep the tradition up. If you have wax melting, sculpting and moulding experience and have a penchant and love of saying rub-a-dub-dub, email tubbuddies@thetub.com. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Should we go TV shows or movies first?
Let's do movies.
Yeah, I've done heaps of movie rewatches.
All right.
I'm going to start
fire
with
off
one
some good ones
that I haven't watched for ages, but we spoke about at the end of last year, just in references, just reference here and there. I'm like, you know what? I am going to watch Wayne's World.
And?
Brilliant.
I recently, I don't know how I didn't know this, but I discovered that Wayne's World 2, Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul. He's one of the two nerds that come up to the mat.
Really? Like,
hey, my mom dropped me over here. My mom gave me a quarter.
Well, clearly, I'm going to have to go and watch Wayne's World 2 now.
The other one is Robert Smigel, who is probably the best writer that SNL has ever had. He's also voice of Triumph the Comic Insult Dog.
So So is he around the time of SNL?
He was head writer.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. I must say I enjoyed the fact that there are jokes in there that I'd forgotten were from Wayne's World.
Sure.
That people, not just myself, but people say.
You never afford it, man. Live in the now.
And the reference that we spoke about probably a few times last year was Ed Harris, not Ed Harris, Ed O'Neill.
Mm.
Ed Harris was not in that.
Very different. When he looks at the camera,
Yeah, and then Garth and Wayne get quite angry at that. Very early Lara Flynn Boyle.
Mm.
Original face?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well before any Men in Black sort of
That's
weirdness.
Right. Before her time with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
The band was brilliant. They were as early 90s as you could possibly get. And I had completely forgotten that there is a whole scene where they just speak in Cantonese.
Sure.
And I don't know if Wayne is any good at it, but he's sure giving it a red hot go.
He gives it a red hot go.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I love the product placement scene.
Yes, that's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of really fun jokes, and also jokes that I remembered at the time were really relevant and I understood them, and now I'm like, I don't get it, but I remember it was funny.
We've lost the topicality.
The context. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So Wayne's World, worth another rewatch.
Nice. Look, I mentioned it earlier, but I seem to be rewatching Venom more and more.
How many times do you reckon you've seen it now?
Probably 10 times now or something. I don't know. It's just become such a guilty watch of, you know, it's a fun movie. It's not the best movie by any stretch, but Tom Hardy's having an awful lot of fun. I'm very excited for the second Venom film, which is meant to be coming finally this year with Carnage and Woody Harrelson playing. So kind of any time some news comes out about it. I mean, we haven't seen a trailer yet, but anytime some news comes, I get the itch. So I'm kind of rewatching it like once every 6 weeks at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say, yeah, so I watched it at the beginning of this year and then I'll probably hold off and watch it when it gets closer.
It's just become such a comfort thing.
Far out.
I can do other stuff while it's on.
Yep, yep.
And there's probably 3 10 to 15 minute segments that I pay attention to intently and the rest of it is just happy on in the background.
I love stuff like that. Mm. I love to be able to watch stuff that you don't actually have to watch.
It weirdly feels like a holdover from the old school superhero, like the early 2000s Spider-Man. It feels more like when superhero movies were just starting to find their legs.
Definitely post-Spawn, which had issues.
Yes. So it's a throwback. Yeah. It's not playing the Marvel style and everything like that. I don't know. It's just good fun.
I remember you watching it at the time and you going, yeah, it was fine. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fine.
It's really grown on me.
Yeah.
It's just, it is silly and they lean into the silliness and I'm for it.
And I imagine in the sequel they're going to do that even more, so.
Fingers crossed.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Look, the other one I rewatched was Cool Runnings, which I don't think I've seen since the 90s.
I have a t-shirt of that.
I've seen that t-shirt. Mm. Maybe that's what made me watch it.
It has a ghostly green John Candy watching over everyone, as I hope he does.
It's strangely comforting. Mm. I enjoyed the egg, you know, the lucky egg. I read up a little bit on the some trivia. I don't want to shock you, but they were rubber eggs. I know. And the footage of the actual, spoiler, crash.
Yes.
Was the actual footage, crash. Which it looked like it was.
Don't need to recreate it. They had it all on film.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that movie had all of the feels and had so many actors that I realized I didn't recognize for anything else. Surprisingly, the main guy, apart from John Candy, I remember he was the Black Jesus in Madonna's Like a Prayer video that was incredibly controversial, mainly because she was dancing around in a church and that was a bit much. But he was in that. And I remember at the time going, oh, this guy in Cool Runnings is Black Jesus from Like a Prayer video. And I don't know if I've seen him in much since, but.
We wish him well.
We do. We wish him really well. What else have you rewatched?
Look, the other one, I'm going to keep it in the Spider family.
Go on.
Spider-Verse.
As in?
Into the Spider-Verse.
The one that won so much accolades and awards.
Shay loves it. It's got Spider-Gwen. It's got Spider-Ham.
Yep.
It's got Nicolas Cage playing a Spider-Man-esque character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was the movie that, for me, came out of nowhere. Everybody loved it, whether they were into Spider-Man or not. It was one of those movies that people like, no, you actually have to watch that.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's very unique in the world of it's very unique in the world of superhero movies.
Yeah.
In that the superhero movies, you're always watching someone else go through their journey and step up, whereas that film is entirely you could be Spider-Man. And they use that phrase, you, quite regularly through that. It's kind of putting you in that POV, and there, you know, there's lots of shots through the film of you are looking through Miles's mask. Mm. And so it's always putting you in the POV of being in that hero position. It feels real good.
and the different art styles.
Yeah, there's so much to see. And even like I've watched it many times as well.
Yeah.
I'm still catching stuff that goes, oh, that's pretty cool. Like there's one scene where Kingpin, he's trying to get his dead wife and son back from another reality. And he's in a train carriage as the world is falling apart and this experiment is happening and he sees them flickering. And there is the briefest moment of a blind redheaded boy that flickers in for two frames behind them that's clearly meant to be Daredevil, never addressed in any way. It's just, you know, his ghosts of potential haunting him for a moment.
Blink and you miss, but whatever.
And then, you know, there's just so much stuff crammed in there. It is a very busy film, but it doesn't feel weighty because of it.
So when you rewatch it now, is it like Venom where you're kind of just having it in the background or are you paying attention?
I probably pay more attention in Spider-Verse just because there is so much going on. And the artwork styles and, you know, there's it's called Kirby Crackle, the points where instead of being colored in properly, it's colored in with dots that explode out. Yep. That's an actual comic book style called Kirby Crackle. Just the fact that they're using all this sort of stuff keeps you visually drawn in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it starts out as one animation style and you've got to hang on things and then we keep getting the... All right, here we go.
And then you start, you're like, oh, okay, this
origin
is
origin story over and over, but always in the different universe, different feels and things like that. Yeah, it's great fun.
It's not that old either.
No,
2017 or 18, maybe.
Yeah,
something like that. I watched an old one called Sister Act, which was very popular at the time.
Sure.
It was a movie that when I rewatched it, I was like, well, look at all of the enormous plot holes. So, she's a performer. In Vegas, I believe, or maybe it was Atlantic City. Whoopi Goldberg, I mean.
Yes.
And she witnesses a murder and has to go into witness protection. So they put her in a church as a nun. And she fights them all the way. She escapes to go and do something. The fact that she becomes the choir leader where they go and perform. How are people not supposed to find her? And there's like one cop who occasionally checks in on her kind of thing. And what happens? The baddies find her in the end. But all's good. And then I know there's a sequel.
So I'm going to say, right? So the sequel is Back in the Habit.
Yes.
Which is a real shame that they already used that because apparently they're working on Sister Act 3.
Yeah.
And they've got the whole crew back together.
It's going to be amazing.
Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I really hope this one's called Sister Act 3. None the wiser.
I hope so too. Because
Back in the Habit would have been perfect for
that's
this.
That's so good.
But it's already passed, so I've got to be none the wiser.
That is really good. I hope they're listening to this, which they, of course, will be. Why would they not be? It was also a musical recently because Whoopi Goldberg was in London. I think this is just before COVID. And Jennifer Saunders was... I can't remember which character she was playing, but she was in it with her. And I, goodness gracious me, would have loved to have seen
that. Yes, that sounds very you.
Very, very me.
Searching for felines near Melmac. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Dipping my toe back in on things that aren't that old, but Stuber. Remember came out a few years ago?
I didn't see it, but I remember you talking about it.
So there was all sorts of complications around its release and this sort of stuff. I don't fully know what happened and things, but yeah, it struggled to do much here in Australia. But I saw it when I was over in the States. Absolutely loved it. Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah. I've been tempted to watch it. I see it.
It's well worth your time.
Yeah, okay.
I would really like you to watch it. Okay. I think it's your sort of humour.
Like a feel-good movie.
No. It keeps trying to be an action movie and Kumail undermines it and turns it back into like just fish out of water angry comedy.
Him. He's very good.
Yeah. So it has hints of Lethal Weapon and nice. That style movie.
Yeah.
But if one of the people involved just did not want he doesn't have any business. He should not be. He's an anxious mess.
Yeah, right.
He should not be driving around someone involved in gunplay and all sorts of terrible situations.
Please step away from this whole situation.
I don't know. It really tickles me. The banter between the two of them is great. There's some fantastic music that I won't spoil, but like really good needle drops throughout.
Nice.
Yeah. Stuber.
Right. I put it on my list of rewatches so we can talk about it later again. But in my perspective, 16 Candles is a movie that I rewatch maybe once every 2 or 3 years. So not that much, but I still check in on it. And every time I watch it, you know, there are classic scenes, classic lines, and every single time I go, why doesn't you just tell everybody that morning, have you forgotten my birthday? And then she wouldn't have to skulk around all day having a tantrum. I also think maybe she should have told them that it was her birthday months ago when they were planning her sister's wedding. Lots of issues, but it doesn't matter because it's so funny. Molly Ringwald is, of course, as endearing as possible. You've got Anthony Michael Hall, who is an absolute classic. He's amazing in everything that he was in. As he was so young.
It was peak Hall.
It really was. And he is having so much fun in this film. And if you want to watch it for nothing else but that, and Joan Cusack as the girl on the bus.
I've told you about my feelings about Joan Cusack.
Yeah, I know. She's not bad.
Not bad.
She's pretty good. This, of course, led me into Revenge of the Nerds, which is a movie that I used to watch all the time growing up, and I cannot tell you why.
Is it as problematic as I imagine it would be?
Very problematic, yeah. On all fronts. Yeah. Everybody is a bad guy in this film, pretty much. Yeah. Everybody's got issues. But at the same time, I'm glad that it still exists so that we can still watch it as it is, so that we can see what was popular, what was fine back then.
What was acceptable.
There are still some really hilarious bits. And I get so Betty is not in the second, but she's in the third Revenge of the Nerds. She's in the first. And I'm kind of interested in watching the second and the third ones because I remember the third one not being that good. But maybe because it wasn't so bad, as in wrong?
Sure.
I don't know, because it would have been a good 10 years afterwards. So many people in it, though. So many people. But maybe, but at the same time, maybe I think there's so many people because I remember watching the movie back then. I'm like, oh, yes, there's that person. But the fact that you've got a character called Point Dexter is...
I know. I have not watched that film in a long, long time.
It's intriguing.
Sure.
There are bits you can see the scenes coming up and you go, right. Strap on in for this one.
Now, am I blurring in my mind it an Animal House? Is Revenge of the Nerds where they like poke holes in the bathroom?
Yes. Yeah, and then okay. They fight. They film the girls in the, not frat house, what was the female? Sorority house. And they live stream it to their own house and watch them all night.
Oh boy.
Now, then nerds. I jumped into Father of the Bride 2.
Mm.
And I wish that I'd watched Father of the Bride 1. Father of the Bride...
It turns the crank up on the Franck, doesn't it?
No, it tones him down a bit. Oh. He's acceptable. Like, he's in it a lot, but he's kind of accepted a bit more.
Mm.
Yeah. So Father of the Bride 2 is mainly...
Remind me what the story is, because the first one's about her getting married, right?
And the second one is about her and... Diane Keaton at the same time being pregnant, and they have to organize a baby shower and organize the house to get ready for the babies and all of that. And it's just wanting to be like the original.
Yeah, sure.
And I know the original isn't the original. The original's like 50 odd years before that, but our Steve Martin original was just so good. I mean, there's a whole Eugene Levy character that doesn't even need to exist, really.
But every Eugene Levy character needs to exist.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. He plays a character who buys the house off them, but Steve Martin doesn't tell Diane Keaton. And then they've got to get out within 10 days.
What?
Yeah. It's like something that wouldn't never happen.
This
It's a lot.
Film sounds like it was written on a Coke bender weekend.
It really was. Watch the original if you want to go back. Don't bother with the sequel. All right,
that's good.
But the one movie that I rewatched that I've only seen maybe a couple of times in the past was Clue, and I really enjoyed it.
Right. Now, I think I saw this once when I was very young and never again.
Yeah,
since.
Stephen Curry's in it. Stephen Curry?
No. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I was like, as I'm saying, this is wrong. Tim Curry's in it. He plays the butler and shenanigans happens. It's based on the board game, I assume, which we call Cluedo. They call Clue over in the US. And it's very funny. It's stupid.
Is there a Christopher Lloyd in there or a...
There's a Christopher Lloyd. There's a Eileen Brennan who you're like, ah, she's the woman in all the stuff. Madeline Kahn's in it. You've got, yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Michael McKean's in it. Mm. Martin Hull, if you remember him from Sabrina Teenage Witch, Roseanne. He was the surly boss at the diner.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, heaps of people are in this movie. And I think it doesn't matter if you remember the end. It's still, the journey's still hilarious.
Nice.
With Better Moves and David Brent. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, enough movies. Let's get into TV shows
Let's
we've been
talk
re-watching.
Some TV that we've been re-watching. I have been dipping my toe in on lots of different Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series.
Have you gone back to the original, like the one that we all remember?
Yes. So for Christmas, I got a TMNT arcade machine for at home.
Ooh.
And so that has caused me to dip back in on some original series.
So is that the game that we would have played?
Yes.
Okay.
Like
on Nintendo or whatever it was.
So the cabinet comes with the first game and the second game. The second game is the one that you would have played on Super Nintendo and stuff like that. The first game is the one that was in arcade machines and stuff.
So that one would be really hard because they want you to keep pumping in the coins, right?
Yeah, but it's I've got infinite lives.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to put any coins
in. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that's had me going through a huge nostalgia trip. And so I've been dipping in on different eras of Ninja Turtles. And so you've got your late 80s, early 90s, the classic OG cartoon, which is hilarious when you look at every other Ninja Turtle design since then. They're the exact same turtle and they just changed the color on the mask.
Yeah, right.
And as a kid, you didn't realize that because they were brothers. You wanted them to look like and stuff. But now when you're older, you look at it, it's like, animation. They just saved a lot of money.
Yeah, it never occurred to me.
Yep. There's been Rise of the Ninja Turtles, TMNT, all these different series and stuff. I rewatched the end, so the last season of Rise of TMNT, which Seth Green voices, at the beginning of the series, Jason Biggs voices Leonardo, and by the end it's Seth Green.
Can you tell?
Yeah, there's a slight difference between them, not too bad, but, Robert Paulson is Donatello. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Very cool. Sean Astin is Raphael.
Yeah, nice.
This sort of stuff. So the last season of that show, I know I talked about probably last year, there was a few episode arc of Raphael in the Wastelands in the future where the world had fallen apart and stuff like that. The very last few episodes are called Rise of TMNT, Bebop and Rocksteady. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Bebop and Rocksteady was the Warthog and the Rhino. In the original series, they were bumbling buffoons. Mm. They couldn't get anything right. In the Rise of TMNT, they're far more ruthless. They were both mercenaries before they got turned and this sort of stuff. Somehow, the 80s cartoon Shredder and Krang...
Yeah.
Break into the world of Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And
do they look the same?
No.
Ooh.
So the 80s versions look exactly the same.
They look like the 80s, right.
And they come to the CGI universe.
Interesting.
And they're done slightly CGI, but they look more like their old school stuff.
Yeah,
they don't have Bebop and Rocksteady there, so they find them in this universe and they enslave them and make them get to work. And Bebop and Rocksteady here are happy to do that. And then Shredder realizes that these guys have guns and kill people and, oh, that's not what we did in the 80s.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You bumbling fools, all this sort of stuff. And Krang is doing the whole thing. And Bebop and Rocksteady essentially take over from Shredder and Krang.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Stuff and grow some confidence and are far more intelligent. It's a really cool meta twist. Then Shredder and Krang from this universe are pissed off at them and so are trying to fight back, and then the Technodrome gets involved and they keep occasionally flashing back to what happened to the original Bebop and Rocksteady. They're stuck in the center of the earth in the old cartoon universe because they helped push the machine through the portal
Far
and got
out.
Left behind. It's so bizarre, and it has no place being in a children's television show.
But this where it's sitting.
And it's just like, hey, this is the end. We've already told the ending of the story we wanted to do. These are just like Elseworld weird stories we'll do.
These are bonuses.
Let's do the weirdest thing ever where 80s characters cross. Now, this is not the first time Ninja Turtles have mixed universes like this. Right. In the 2010 series, I think it was. I can't even remember when it was. But they used the original cartoon, the 2003 cartoon, and then the 2010 iteration and stuff like that. And it was how they were getting progressively darker and more mature and things like that. This has none of that. This is not a clever take on things. This is just...
We're just going for it.
Let's throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So I have rewatched this thing so many times because it's just so silly. And it's like two episodes, I think, maybe three. I can't remember. 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, it's consumable. It's super easy.
And it just tickles me.
That's
you can see that this is a room full of people that wrote these Ninja Turtles for 8 years and rinsed every gritty story out of it they could, and were just like, let's have some fun. Rubbing those hands.
And they're allowed to, which is really good.
It's awesome.
So are you tempted to rewatch the movies from the 90s?
Oh, I have rewatched them plenty of times. First one's great. Second one is manageable. Third one is god awful.
Yeah, okay.
But I also don't mind the Michael Bay produced ones. Mm-hmm. You know, they're harmless.
Yeah, there's
some good fun moments in there and stuff, and they hit the right notes.
Yeah, right.
I don't ever expect there to be a high art version of Ninja Turtles and stuff. Because
they're
in live
Teenage
action.
Mutant Ninja Turtles. So.
Not in live action. They can do that in animation. That's all good.
Solving mysteries. Rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, usually during the week as I finish watching my watching duties, and I go back to the stuff that I just...
Isn't it like that? Tuesday night generally for us is feet up, watch what you want.
Whatever you want. And they usually come dine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Always a brilliant show. Does not matter where it's set, which country it's set, which version you're watching. They're all amazing. And I've noticed on SBS Food, they've got a whole heap of episodes I've never seen
before.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. So, I'm really enjoying getting through those. I like how you can have the Come Dine With Me couples. You can have the Come Dine With Me episodes where it's the whole group in one episode, like they get through the whole week. And then they'll have then they'll also do episodes where it's like four or five people in the dinner party or in the competition, and they get their own episode each night.
Sure.
Oh, I can pump through those.
Yeah.
Really, really
deep
fun.
Dive
yeah,
those ones.
Exactly. Cool. I've also been rewatching some Four in a Bed, which is just bed and breakfast owners who go to each other's B&Bs and they judge them super harshly. And like they make such a big deal out of the breakfast and whether people can make a poached egg.
Ooh.
Yeah. They get so catty, and then they have the judgment day at the end. They call it payment day, but I call it judgment day, where they talk amongst each other as to why they were given this mark and why you only paid me this much when the rooms go, oh, it's wonderful. But I think I'm all caught up, unfortunately.
Oh.
And just because of the time of the world, I don't think they're making any. No. So I'm a bit sad about that. But I'm happy to go back and rewatch some. And finally, QI. If QI is on television, it doesn't matter if there's like 10 minutes left, I'll sit there and watch that because it's always funny. Always.
I think I'm like that with Would I Lie to You?
Would I Lie to You is another great one. I don't care if I've seen that episode before. I'm going to sit there and watch it.
Any episode with Bob Mortimer.
Yes.
If he's on, I'm there. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm watching it. And 8 out of 10 Cats.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all good.
They're all good.
They're all so good. And what I love is that they've got regular people who appear on all three of them, and I'm so happy with that.
Give me a James Acaster and Ed Gamble. Yeah,
so good. All right, what else? Have you got any other TV shows that you're rewatching that we could probably dip our toes into?
Yeah, look, rather than one specific TV thing, so I talk about Ron Funches a lot. He's a comedian that I turn to when I want to feel happy. When I want to just shut off and think, there's a comedian I love called Anthony Jeselnik. Now, I'm sure I've mentioned him before.
Yeah, he's blonde, I think,
yes,
right? Got
blonde,
a beard?
by all accounts, he's a lovely guy in real life, but right. he plays a character of like a maniacal, plotting serial killer. He makes awful, awful, awful jokes, but says it with a smirk, and his eyes say, "I don't believe this."
Yeah, okay.
And so
he gets away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really like he makes every special he's done has a segment, like not just a few, but like a block of jokes about dropping a baby. And I don't know why this started for him as being such a thing, but he says he just finds it hilarious and it's made him very rich.
Yeah, right,
so
okay.
he keeps going back to that well. There's not many people that are doing the same sort of thing that he is at the moment. It's most people are doing very observational or, you know, telling long stories and stuff like that, where he is telling very specifically worded, honed jokes that are – has a delivery style where it's very slow and methodical, kind of like a Stephen Wright.
Yep, yep.
But he uses that to his advantage because he says a joke – he'll do the setup of a joke that sounds very standard and you expect it to have – a payoff, and his slow delivery means that the audience fills in that gap, and then when he gets there to deliver the punchline, it's 10 times worse than what it could have been.
Yeah, right. So the audience is like, I know where this is going. It's very funny. I've enjoyed it already, but go ahead, finish the joke. And then he goes, all right, I'm going to finish the joke, but I'm going over in this direction.
Yes.
Amazing.
All the time. And so I just love his patter. And so probably once a month, a Tuesday night, will involve an hour special of a bit of Anthony Jeselnik, because his delivery somehow makes me slow down.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Most comedians I like are really powering through their jokes and stuff. So to hear someone just unwrap the gifts that he's giving the audience of
intentionally pacing.
Yeah, it's he's a master at what
Anthony
he does.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Jeselnik. Jeselnik.
Jeselnik.
He's one of the guest hosts, or sometimes even the main host, or a guest judge or main host on Roast Battle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's very good at that stuff.
Yeah. Harsh. Any other rewatches?
Should we just rapid fire a bunch? So I talked about it all the time, but Corporate, I still dip my toes back on that. That finished their season 3 last year. There's a few episodes of that are very easy to watch. We were talking about great UK stuff. Taskmaster, they're still pumping out seasons of that. I'm not sure what's going to be happening thanks to COVID.
Yeah.
But we'll see. They started showing some of that in the US. And
okay.
it didn't do particularly well, which is a real shame.
That's odd. I would anyway. Look, I can rapid fire. I spoke about this not long ago, but I've been watching My So-Called Life again.
Mm.
I don't remember it from the beginning. I have vague memories of it. It's basically just nostalgia for me. I'm just enjoying
it. It's just there.
On that level, yeah.
I've been rewatching The Kroll Show, which is Nick Kroll's comedy show, and it's kind of funny to see where it only ended like maybe 5 years ago. But a lot of people that were bit players on that show have blown up now.
Yeah, that I like it when that happens.
Yes.
And you go, oh, my gosh, I forgot you were in this show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really fun.
There's stuff from there that is incredibly dated in only a few years, which is hilarious. But, yeah.
I've been watching a couple of later episodes of Absolutely Fabulous. I don't need to go from the beginning anymore because I've watched it so many times. But you those later it. Seasons, I haven't watched as often as the original three, I'd say. So it's fun to get in there, watch it, and honestly not remember some of the jokes and laugh at them again. It, you know, I may watch one once a month, but I enjoy it every time I do.
I walked in the room the other day and Mr. Bean was on and I just sat down.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been very funny. Oh, I want to rewatch some of those.
It's worth it. So somehow I missed season 2 of Netflix's The Punisher. So
I
went back and rewatched season 1 in prep for it and stuff. It still holds up. Daredevil and Punisher were the two characters that I would have happily seen continue from that universe. They may still
never
do
never.
So.
Never say never. Yeah, never say never with that one.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wrapped up last year. They had their last season. But there's been a few episodes lately that I've gone back and rewatched because they had been timed with specific Marvel releases.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and rewatched some of the stuff from season 1 when we still thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was the good guys and hadn't been infiltrated by Hydra and stuff. It's hilarious seeing how different that show was at the beginning compared to what it ended up being.
I like that, though, when you see a show has been able to evolve like that.
Yeah.
on such a cool level.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah, I like that. It works on.
First season is like, it has bigger budgets, but it's so small scale compared to the grand storytelling that they got into later.
Yeah, and you end up, you're like, whoa, gosh.
Yeah.
They didn't know they were going to do that.
No, time travel, space travel, alternate reality.
Yeah.
So many different twists and turns that show took.
I have dipped my toe back into Freaks and Geeks, which is a show that I think I only watched maybe 3 or 4 years ago. For the second time, and I just like seeing how young everyone is.
I forgot how Seth Rogen gets one really good episode in that show, and like he was kind of a bumbling joke through a lot of it, and he had that one episode, and you can he stood up.
It was
like you can see, oh, that's why, you know, that's why Judd Apatow chose to champion this guy, because he saw when he was put under the pressure, he stood up.
It's such a great, and it's kind of like my so-called life in that there aren't that many episodes, so you can watch them and not feel overwhelmed and just watch the beginning of people's careers. It's amazing. Are you ready for a quiz?
I really am. I really am.
This is the 90s rewatching special.
Alrighty.
The 1994 movie Airheads has a lot of famous actors in it. Give me three of them to win a thumbs up.
Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm. You did it. Three.
Do I need to keep going? Is there a Dan Hedaya? No.
Okay, the others I don't remember as much. As obviously, they were the three main ones. But the others that I notably mentioned was Chris Farley's in it.
Oh, that's right.
David Arquette and Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson. That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Why did I say Dan Hedaya? Anyway, let's move on from that.
I don't know. What's the number on top of the bus that is rigged with the bomb that Sandra Bullock has to drive around in Speed? Do you remember? I actually remembered this.
Is it like 55?
It's four numbers, but two are doubled up. Like they're
8008?
It's 2525. Right. I don't know why I remembered that.
That is very obscure.
Very specific. What's Dr. Evil's son's name?
Scott.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Claire Danes was wonderful as Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. Who was originally supposed to play the role? Bit younger, still a very famous actress.
Was it Winona?
Younger. She's in Australia at the moment.
Cate Blanchett?
She's got a pretty big part in a Marvel movie that's being filmed here. Or a part.
Tessa Thompson?
She's holding the hammer.
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
They didn't go with her because she was a bit younger and looked way younger than Claire Danes. And apparently it made Leonardo DiCaprio look too old and a bit creepy. So fair enough. In Legally Blonde, what's her signature move? Is it A, bend and snap, B, twist and pick, or C, drop and shop?
It's the bend and snap.
Yeah, nice. Very, very good. Final one. Which rapper auditioned for Cool Runnings?
Was it Coolio?
It wasn't Coolio. It is way more. I never expected this person.
DMX? Busta Rhymes?
Actually, I think he was in a movie. Maybe with Janet Jackson?
50 Cent.
No, it was Tupac. I think he was in a movie with Janet Jackson. I'm not
there
sure. Also, Jeffrey Wright and Cuba Gooding Jr. all auditioned for it as well. Didn't get the roles.
Wowzers.
It's funny because I was talking about how I don't think I've seen many of the main actors in anything else. But the blokes didn't get in, went off. Madness.
Curse of the bathtub.
Yeah, exactly. And the lucky egg. Was it that lucky? We'll investigate later on in our investigative report. Tom, I enjoyed that rewatching. I've now got a bigger list.
Yep.
And a smaller list at the same time.
I'm in the same boat. I've made a few notes. I've also removed only a handful of things. This list is unwieldy.
No, mine's pretty purged at the moment. I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah, that was a lot of weekend watching.
I've still got a full page.
Holy cow. All right, well, we'll have to do another one of these later on in the year. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.